Hi everyone, I'm sorry to keep you waiting for a couple of minutes. I was just down at the other meeting at Incident Support Group down at the Shire Chamber. For those who haven't met me, I'm Gail McGowan. I'm the Commissioner that's been appointed to the Shire of Donnybrook Bailing Up. I had hoped, having been here in a similar situation last week, that I wouldn't have to do this again, but unfortunately that's the case. Could I begin by acknowledging that we're meeting on the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Noongar Nation and pay my respects, but also in this situation just acknowledge everyone who's been impacted or is in that situation, either having been evacuated or worrying about loved ones and friends. The purpose of today is to actually make sure we give you the most current information, give you some time to answer some, to ask some questions, do the best we can to answer those questions. We won't always have all the answers. What I found last week, some people had very specific questions around their properties, so we encouraged you to sort of talk to the individuals afterwards. I had a bit of a lead up last time, so I knew who was in the room a little bit more from the support agency, so I'll probably wing that a little bit more today. But most important thing for me now is to make sure I can introduce you to Peter, who is actually our incident controller. And just in handing over to Peter, just say, having watched last week, having watched today, just the amazing coordination that goes into doing this. You would have, I haven't even seen the city that's sprung up overnight. But what is really reassuring is that while we've had, I think, something like 300,000 lightning strikes over WA in the last couple of days and a number of fire fronts here and potential flare-up areas, is that people haven't just left it to the last minute. People have actually been prepared. So, Peter, can I just get you to do an update now and then you hand back to me and then we'll wing it from there.
Thank you very much, but you stole my intro.
Oh, sorry.
As we're saying there, obviously significant lightning strikes over Tuesday night, 300,000 across the southwest, significantly from about Lancelin through Manjimup and east, that started yesterday, probably over 20 significant fires, so the smaller fires that got responded to by local brigades across the state, all parks and wildlife that were extinguished, and some didn't. Each had commitments. You probably aware down at Manjimup was probably the biggest concern for our local lower southwest region down here, and parks and wildlife had this fire out at Noggarup that we're also across at the moment. That went through the day that the local brigades here with your Chief Max got into this fire, did the best they could contain that and did well because of other priorities across the state. You know, we had up in the wheat belt lives at threat, property, little townships at threat that our large air tanker that sits in Busselton, one of those went to. They had other commitments. So Max and his crew did a fabulous job protecting your community as much as they could. Thankfully, we can say there's been no losses of significance other than, unfortunately, some livestock. So they worked through that, but through the night, couldn't contain it and didn't have the resources to contain that. And they reached out at about 5 o'clock yesterday for assistance through the state and through the region of DFES. Concurrently, Parks and Wildlife were managing this fire. Thus, they had a significant amount of resources from the whole southwest region. They were also in parallel running a reasonable job up at Collie at the Wellington Dam, you might have heard about or seen in the distance. So they had their own issues during the day yesterday. So there's a late meeting at 6 o'clock last night held at state level to roll in what we call our preformed team that sit on call every week. I happen to be the incident controller for Delta team. So we were advised last night at 6 o'clock that we'd be rolling here for 8 o'clock in the morning. And that was to pick up both incidents. So we've had to turn this one from a controlling agency of the local government. That did occur last night to DFES. And this one, it hasn't happened till today, being controlled by our incident management team. So some of that around the media and some of the upwards reporting has changed. I'll start on Sand Hill, as we're calling this one. There's machines and tracking about 50% of that as we speak at the moment. They're still working, so it's still uncontained, uncontrolled. We plan on walking these roads this afternoon to hopefully establish entrance into those areas tomorrow. One significant point is road closures between the two. I'll probably get to that on the other page. Has anyone got significant questions around this fire, other than specific to their property, which I'll take the community liaison unit to work with individually? But this is about 1,000 hectares. It says about 50% contained, not moving. That's been fairly good and stable all day, but we've still got a fair bit of work to do. This fire, a little bit more contained, more risk, obviously, in the Preston National Park. All the southern edge is tracked, and that's obviously having a mineral earth break around it. This area this morning, and why it went to emergency warning, popped out of the forest and into private pasture, probably some of your properties or friends. So we've had what we call a rural-urban interface strike team come from southwest, so from Bunbury area, back down into here. They got a strong presence at the moment. We're just starting to get, in the last few minutes, significant southwest winds, and we haven't got this tracked at the moment, so that's going to push through here. So we've got plans about what we're doing with traffic down the Donnybrook Road, and also up into Collie. We're going to have to relook at that. I'll go to the other side. That one's about 3,000 hectares. So that's the two together. We've just come up with a plan, and obviously knowing a lot of people, so the road's closed from there to there. We've just had meetings in the last half hour to try and rectify that so the community can get back into this centre area. So we're going to shift a, or put a new vehicle control point in here at Charlie Creek Road, and another one here on the eastern side of Preston. So you'll be able to get from, within the next half hour, from Ferguson Road, you'll be able to get into that section. So hopefully that'll allay a few community interruptions that we're causing. This will have road walking in some time tomorrow. We don't know where we're going to hold this at the moment, and even if we have to actually... And this vehicle control point is going to shift down to Noggerup. I've been having it all day. Noggerup. And the water ski park has been cleared by DBCA. They've been moved. And this roadblock is probably about to move up to here because of the issue of this fire with the southwesters on it. If it comes out of the forest, we've only got an hour to the road that will rapidly move, and we don't have enough time to move police and the people manning those roadblocks and the community. So we're very conscious of that. So any movement in here, we respond accordingly, and the warning areas will change. So they'll come under emergency warning all the way through to the main road. And Watch and Act will obviously move north, and the advice area following on from that. About 200 firefighters and incident management team total from Parks and Wildlife, Forest Products Commission, probably aware of a big blue gum plantation in here. That's probably been a big economical cost to the region and to Forest Products Commission themselves, that's quite a valued asset for the state. So that's been protected. Fire and rescue and bushfire brigades, all encompassing. Everyone's involved in managing both fires. And we won't be standing down what we've assembled next door until both fires are controlled and contained and you as a community are safe. We go back to you, or is there any significant questions about either incident? So at 8 o'clock this morning, I was made incident controller of both incidents, so that Parks and Wildlife fire come under our umbrella. So now, which is a coordinated response, which is probably better, especially around that traffic management solution, that if they are separated and controlled independently, you wouldn't have. So there's advantages in doing what we're doing, and we'll be about trying to make this as safe and getting a track around these and mopped up as quick as possible.
Thanks so much, Peter. And before I go to questions, at the meeting I was just at, there was confirmation around the some of the damage to the plantation, quite significant dollar value of that plantation. I think the Western Power people said there'd been one power pole damaged. Telstra, NBN, etc. were just monitoring things at this stage. No significant outages or damage there. I think NBN said they've made available Wi-Fi at both the evac centre here and at Boyup Brook, because there's another evac centre in Boyup Brook, as Peter said. On the transit park here and also in Boyup Brook for people with animals and things, we're making arrangements for that, and I think Kim, if anyone needs to, can query that. But I'm now going to open up to any specific questions. Peter, I might start and say, because one of the things is if someone actually ends up on one of the roads and gets to one of the, you know, the control points, what tends to happen?
That all depends whether you want to enter or exit. Exit, you're allowed to go at will, and at this point you won't be able to come back. Well, we have two types. We have restricted and partial. Partial, landowners and significant people can get past, but a restricted, as this would be at the moment, full road closure would be no entry back to that area until we can deem it safe to do so, and we've obviously got commitments to try and get that cleared as quickly as possible, saying what we're doing with this one this afternoon and tomorrow, all those roads need to be walked by crews for falling trees, all that. We don't want to let anyone back in because it all sits with me. So we have to make sure it's safe before we let anyone back into any area.
What I'm going to do is actually give you a mic so everyone can hear the question. Don't be scared by it. And
no worries. You were mentioning that gap between the two, that shortly, you said in about a half an hour, I could come through the Ferguson and get into that gap. Okay, excellent. That's all I want to know. I just want to be able to get home. That's all. Thank you.
So I just wanted to ask, how do we get notified that it's all clear and ready to go back in?
That'll be done by public messaging across Emergency WA. So if anyone who's not looking at Emergency WA website, that's where all the warnings as incidents escalate and de-escalate, and the warnings will change around that. So as that goes back from a watch and act to an advice level, as soon as it goes to advice level, as timely as possible, you'll be allowed to return.
And that Emergency WA is www.emergency.wa.gov.au. One of the questions that came up last week was that the ABC sort of fire updates weren't coming through very frequently. My understanding is when it's at emergency level, they're every 15 minutes, but they drop back quite significantly
hourly
after that. So that's what happens with that one. Now, I saw a question down here.
So to that, while we're moving the microphone, so the only area that's going to get 15-minute updates is for that area there in the red. The rest is what we term watch and act in the orange.
Hello, Rhonda Clark from Merrifield View. Any idea, and I know it's hard, but any idea when that road will be open again on Boyup Brook Road?
You'll have to enlighten me where that is.
Merrifield View is just past Charlie Creek Road, going towards Loudoun, about 5-6 km short of Loudoun.
So along here somewhere?
Yep.
Yeah, that should be open this afternoon.
Okay.
So accessible via Ferguson Road.
Can you not go down Boyup Brook Road? No. Boyup Brook Road won't be open till... Any idea when Boyup Brook Road...
That's what we're going to try and aim for tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Where is Mealer Up? So just past the Apricot Farm?
Yes.
Okay. So Mealer Up, where we get that road going out here,
yep.
Just along there, about 3 km. Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah, that would be similar, depending on probably what happens here this afternoon. there may be a need not to do that. It is very subjective. No, because you won't be able to get back past Charlie Creek Road.
The reality is, I think, for most people, when they get stopped, you know, it'll be determined whether it's safe for you to get in there if you're going past a checkpoint, and they won't take any risks, will they, Peter? So from that point of view...
No, definitely not, and it hasn't been inspected. So to put anyone from the community back in there now is at risk of everyone. So, I said, this afternoon, this is at a stage that we're actually starting to walk some of these roads, and that is exactly that term. They are walked and assessed for falling trees.
Peter, what's your prediction over the next few days with the weather pattern? What's going to happen?
Our big test is from now through till 8, 9 o'clock tonight. We have some significant fire weather with us with a strong sea breeze. Overnight that reduces where we'll be doing whatever effort we can to contain these with machines and fire crews. Into tomorrow it's reduced to not quite as bad as today, so we hope to still progress the same work we've achieved today. But depending what happens, we're throwing everything at it. We've got aircraft, we've got whatever we can get from the state, trying to hold these incidents as small as they can. And the critical point is that we can still keep it south of the Boyup Brook Road.
The Sandhills one, yep. Is that pretty much the contained?
About 50%.
Okay, so it still needs clean-up.
Yeah, definitely still needs clean-up, but progressing as fast as possible. They've got 4 machines on that one. So, as I said, and we're in combination of tracking, we're also starting to walk roads. So we should be in a place that by this time tomorrow or later, hopefully being able to let some people back into that area. But you would have to be a resident. It won't be open slather until we do more work.
Hi, Peter. We run a business from 16 Sandhills Road, which is the first business on the right.
Yeah.
Our crews need to access our yard, but have been told they can't get through. Will that be the case until tomorrow at this point?
Yeah, too unsafe to enter that area at all until at least tomorrow. Yeah, probably later in the afternoon.
You're making me... I'll just go here and then to you.
At the moment, Little Road has got a road closure that connects to Charlie Creek Road, but that area hasn't been burnt and it's not in any of the watch and act or advice areas. Can we access to the end of Charlie Creek Road via Thompson Brook to King Spring and then via Little Road?
You're talking down this area somewhere?
Probably to your right a bit more.
Up here?
Yeah, it's in the...
That plantation area there?
No. No, it's further to the... probably to the right.
Over here? So when this opens up today, you should be able to go into this area here? Is that what you're talking?
So we've got Little Road here. So at the moment, we've got King Spring Road.
Yep.
So you can come up Thompson Brook. So you go near Neil's Pirate, Thompson Brook, then you go King Spring Road, and then Little Road to Charlie Creek. Apparently there's a blockage here.
Yes, that's the blockage.
Are we able to come through here to access our crops here in this zone, and then none of this has been burnt?
Can you get this way?
We can't go through that one, no access. It'd only be through this way. Right. So it's not this...
Yeah. No,
there's no burning there. Nothing's been burnt through there.
No. Might just leave you to talk to Peter about that afterwards, too.
We can get it back to there.
I just needed...
Because, yeah, that's right. Then we can actually access
it. Yep. Okay, so... Asking for a detail.
Peter, one of the questions is
I'll just get Liesl to note Little Road. Mm-hmm. We'll look at that.
It might require someone that understands the roads, but one of the questions is some people don't know how to get in via the Ferguson Road. So is there any way we can get the instruction on how to get in through that area?
Basically through Dardenup, as I know it. Through Dardenup? In the middle of Dardenup, Ferguson Road heads straight east for the hills and where quite a few wineries and... up that, and that will bring you down the hill again. Yeah. Up past the gnomes.
Okay. If anyone,
I'll get a local to confirm that.
Yeah, I was going to say a couple of the locals might help you out. So, okay, you two are matched.
I'm pretty sure by the time you get there, that will be organised. I just approved it before I came here.
So your buddy is here in the black T-shirt and she's going to explain it in detail as to how to get there. Okay. Any other questions? Yes. You're making me sure I get my exercise, aren't you?
I'm just come out this morning from Beeler Up, which is Preston Road, which is 500 metres from the turn-off onto Boyupbrook Road. As you turn on the Boyupbrook Road, the first left is Preston Road. It follows the highway. It's on the river. Just out of Donnybrook. And I came out this morning. I had business in Bunbury. I said to the gentleman there, not the staff that doing the roadblocks, he said you will be able to get back into your place. You're in no danger. So I just went to that turn off and I got politely told where to get off. You will not get in here today. And I had permission off their boss to do it, but they've just gone all...
Are we talking somewhere east of Preston?
All it is you turn onto the Boyupbrook Road, you go 400 metres, you turn left on the Preston Road. It's completely away from anything.
Not with our current weather at the moment. With the current activity that we've got at the moment, I said we can't let anyone to the east of Preston. Because things have changed.
There may well be a danger. I think this is the point with the unpredictability of any fire and with the strong southwesterly, I think it is coming in this afternoon. But, the road is, as you come out of Donnybrook, where am I? And it's... There's a little road
So back,
as you come, that's where you're talking, excuse me, this is where you're talking, you come out of Donnybrook, you go past, you go over the bridge and then you take that first turn left. Preston Road.
Well, that and Little Road, when I leave here, we'll go back and reassess, but I don't think so at this stage. And if it was safe, we would let you back in there, but we can't at the moment. And that would have... Look, might be to you, but you're not fronting the coroner if something goes wrong.
Look, and that's the challenge with this is sometimes in the early stages you have to take a fairly broad brush. Then if you come and have the conversation, as Peter has said, they'll look at it again this afternoon. They will do everything, if it's safe, to let people back.
So those vehicle control points were in place from yesterday. So they have not moved today.
What we might do is make sure we've got your details because Peter said they'll do a double check on that.
But we reassess these closures and try and accommodate the community on an hourly basis.
No, I don't need that. All I want to do is get home. That's all I want to do. I just went to the doctors. If I had an owner, I wasn't like if this bullshit was happening on the roadside. Boys stopped me down the road not to go. I said, I only live across the river there, mate. I know how to get there. I've fought in fires. I've been through cyclone alley. I've had one 2 years ago in front of me here. So if you look back, they'll tell you who it is.
Yeah.
I stopped.
Look, and...
I want to get up.
No. The short answer... Unfortunately, the reality is DFS are in control of the fire. Well, won't be me, but I think... I understand that situation because I know my dad was involved in Cyclone Elby and had exactly the same attitude, but I think in hindsight was probably fairly happy that he hadn't pushed the issue. So I think that my view is...
In other words, all I'm
Well, some people, yeah. I think the overarching thing is to try and keep the community as safe as we can. I'm sorry, it's not going to be the answer you want. Yeah. Well, I'll let you work out what you need to do.
Unfortunately, we've got to use boundaries, got to use significant points. We can't individualise and look at this. We need to make the whole community safe, and we pick trigger points. We obviously work with Main Roads and police about the best places for other routes. So that is more of a concern. And obviously we have trucks, bigger vehicles. We need turning points. We need to advise them in advance. So there's a bit more into just letting people in to a certain driveway or whatever. It needs to be a significant road and detour that can be put in place. As I said, we continually review these hourly. If they can be reduced, they can be reduced. But while this remains only 50% tracked, it is still uncontrolled, uncontained, and is a significant risk. As I said, and we've got Southwesters on it through this afternoon that haven't been on it last night. So it is a big test this afternoon, and with the weather that got this afternoon, we won't be changing in this area of what's in place at the moment, other than bringing one back to Charlie Creek Road there, which is to try and let this part of your community back into their properties.
And by way of example, I suppose this one had actually been reduced to a watch and act earlier this morning. It flared up again, so there is that unpredictability. There will be decisions that DFES and others make that people won't be happy with, that you feel frustrated by. They're going to have to make judgment calls, and they do a bloody good job, quite frankly. This
one first. What's the chances of it heading west again, the Nogger Up fire?
Very minimal. We've got southerly and southwesters for the next few days. So there's another fire front on Saturday, bad fire weather. So that's why we're here to try and sort this out tomorrow and Friday.
Okay, good.
So at the moment, we are running with this being the only significant incident in the state as far as bushfire. Obviously, DFES are dealing with the Kimberley flood, but we have all the resources we can get hold of and use while keeping the rest of the state safe and on watch, because each region needs a response level. But whatever is spare and around the state is being thrown at this incident.
Which would suggest that they are regarding it as a serious incident, and we don't... wouldn't have the setup on the oval if that wasn't the case. So I think I'd just be encouraging everyone, no matter how frustrating it is, to sort of bear with it. We've got Simon and the team, the community's team, with Renee, etc., looking after the evac centre here. We've got an evac centre at Boyup Brook. I've seen heaps and heaps of offers on Facebook for accommodation, for support for animals, for, you know, for people, etc. And probably 90% of the time, or 99% chance, you'd be absolutely fine, but we don't want to take the 1% just at the moment. So I think bear with it. Yeah.
And the alternative is to have a bushfire plan, be prepared to stay and defend at the time these warnings change. So if you have a bushfire plan and that involves having equipment and whatever to do, otherwise, as per the messaging, we say move on and get out, and that will stay in place until the situation is safe enough for you to return. Because it's not safe to be in your home. If you're in those areas that are precluded, they have a fire plan that they're happy to defend their property.
Yeah. Look, there's point-in-time exercises where, unfortunately, yes, you know, people make those judgments about stay and defend, etc., with their plans. There will always be people who, in a sense, get caught out because they've gone out and then can't get back in.
And the harder part with that, obviously, is school times and exactly that, when you go to the doctor, to the shops and whatever, an emergency occurs, that's where you need an alternate plan, that there is always that chance that you won't get home.
And, you know, look, it is unfortunate in that sense, but people will be frustrated. But I think on balance, these guys are taking, or guys and girls, are taking into account what they consider in their judgment is the best thing. And what I'm hearing is that the situation they're hoping by tomorrow morning, at least I can do a bit of an update anyway. And all I'm imploring you to do is stay safe in the meantime. Yeah. I think, you know, that's one of those issues. We're going to have to... I would rather have animals hungry for 24 hours than other consequences. Other questions?
And if we don't get through that tomorrow, for whatever reason, mainly with this fire, hopefully we'll have what we call a restricted access permit system in place. I think we can actually alleviate the issues there, but that will be homeowners only register and in, out, in an hour, in 2 hours, whatever you need to do, whatever you need to do on an emergency situation.
Sorry,
the restricted permit. Yep.
In, out. Yep. I think a lot of the frustration is just coming from the change in conditions from this morning. Can we just go through, especially with the Noggarup fire, going from watch and act to emergency sort of mid-morning, can we just go through in a little bit more detail why that changed? What made it more dangerous, essentially?
Simply because of stronger fire conditions and the activity that was in this area and these properties in the private pasture were under threat. So there's threat to life in that area and it was progressing up this way. As soon as we... So as in moving fire, rate of spread and actual moving. So this morning was in this area, has now progressed to there. But aircraft and firefighters have got in and controlled that to this certain point, and now we have a different direction of wind. Our pressure point and weak point is on this flank here. For safety of firefighters, machine operators, always going to work from the safer end. This is what we call the dead man zone, so not even firefighters go in that area. So conditions changed, and if it was safe, that would be dropped off. And our vehicle control points are pretty much controlled by what is a watch and act area.
Thanks, Peter.
Sorry. So you've got a red line, sorry, from here, and it's going up to Boyout Brook Road, which is, to me, where the fire is. So we chose to leave. We did get the message, thank you. I now have a son and a husband looking after four dogs and trying to keep them in the shade outside. But we also spoke to our people across the river and they actually have a bush block and they've actually got a fire on that, so that needs to actually be enlarged from my point of view, because you've actually got fire now on the other side of the valley and across the river. He told us that about half an hour ago.
You're talking up here? That would be a separate fire. So we have aircraft in the air that would see and identify that, and that could be identified with a Wellington fire from still continuing from yesterday. No, too far away.
What I might get you to
aircraft do, would be moving onto that.
Yeah, because I think when you've got that, because that's a really important point of, you know, one of the reasons that has just been given for why, you know, we take that cautious, or they take the cautious approach, is because the behaviour is erratic, it changes and things, and if people aren't reporting some of those in, you can't do much about them, so that'd be really helpful.
And the other point to lightning strikes, and you might be going to look at that fire now. Mm. Let's hope so. Mm. At least you'll see it if not, but thanks for that. If you can tell us the exact location, we'll take that on board. But there is aircraft in the air all the time that will be seeing that. When you have 300,000 or whatever lightning strikes, it is usually day two and three, and what we call sleepers, that sit in different areas in the forest. So a spark, an ember, might be the smallest little fire just tricking away like a cigarette butt, something like that, just sits in the middle of the forest for 2 to 3 days before it gets enough momentum and wind on it and conditions to actually move and get another fire that someone reports, or the Parks and Wildlife Towers identify, or the aircraft identify. So experience says to the people in this area that day two and three, which is today and tomorrow, there could be other fires still developing that we're unaware of, and that could be an exact case of that.
I'm really conscious that the likes of Peter are probably, you know, looking after the on-the-ground stuff as well, so I don't want to unnecessarily keep him, but I, if there's any questions, I also want to make sure that people have had an opportunity to ask. Feel free to stay around for a little while if you've got a question that's much more specific to you. I'll also point out, just supporting the Department of Communities team that have set up the evac centre. So you in the corner, yes, and you're not Renee and you're not Rhonda, so who are you?
Rochelle.
So thank all. Obviously your name has to start with R, yes, and then Brendan comes from Manjum Up, so that team is doing a fantastic job, as are the police. Simon, yes, from the rec centre, who really doesn't, you know, well, I shouldn't say doesn't do anything, but not in terms of the actual control, but making things available here, so thank you. Susie Delaporte, who is actually working with the Shire, and Susie has come on board fairly recently, you know, almost as recently as me, and suddenly found herself the incident recovery coordinator for two fires, so she's on her L plates, but she is there to help with anything, you know, sort of post the event. Mentioned police, all the DFES staff. Kim Dolasully, who's in the back corner there, is actually acting CEO of the Shire, and you know, Kim's the one that's making some of those decisions around, you know, access to the transit parks, etc., and making sure pets can be brought there, and you know, we don't need to worry about fees, etc. So that's that sort of stuff is it. So it's a bit of the community rallying together, and obviously more staff on the board. So Peter, can I say on behalf of the community, thank you. I know we'll always get a few people that will always think that we've gone too far one way or not far enough another way.
This isn't my first rodeo.
Okay, but please stay vigilant, stay safe. You heard the messaging around some of the wind conditions, you heard the messaging around the sleeper fires, and the way it was explained to me, it's a bit like your mulch that sort of gets a bit of compost and you know, sort of smoulders away and then suddenly bursts into flame. So don't take anything for granted. And stay safe. So thank you.
Yeah, thanks all. Just keep an eye on that emergency WA. We'll keep updated whatever situation changes, and my deputy's on the ground in Boyart Brook at the moment for the people from Noggarup that couldn't get across to this meeting. So conscious of that, and we're trying to inform you as much as possible. I'll let the community liaison group, our team there, convene or get the feeling of what is, whether there's a need for a meeting tomorrow and what time that'll be, and I'll take that on, and either myself or the deputy will be back to say hello, and hopefully we're in a better place tomorrow than we are today. But yeah, our team of 200 aren't sitting around idle. They're working out there as quickly and as hard as they can to get you back to your properties. Thanks.
Thank you. And I did neglect to say this was being recorded, and as will Boyart Brook, so it is available for anyone else who wasn't able to get here in person. Thank you.